This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right. Big news today. Republicans moving ahead with a vote on their amended health care bill in the House of Representatives.
True. It's the House. It doesn't appear that the Senate plans to pass this.
No.
So if it gets through the House, it still has to go to the Senate. And they're more than likely going to amend it and change it in some ways.
Yeah.
But at least finally in the House, the Republicans got enough votes to pass something.
Well, to at least vote on it.
Yeah.
It's their second attempt to bring the bill to a vote since 2 months ago when they pulled it from the floor because, as you mentioned, it wasn't going to. Yeah,
they didn't have them.
They didn't have them at that time. Republican leaders in the White House spent yesterday scrambling for votes. Their margin is expected to be razor thin.
So if somebody changes their mind, it's over with.
Yeah, one person banged down.
That always happens on TV and in the movies, but very rarely in real life.
The senator from Alaska. The vote on health care will happen sometime between 1:15 and 2:15 p.m. Eastern, according to the schedule sent out this morning by House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
So by the time we're eating lunch,
11:15 to 12:15.
We should know what the outcome is.
Yeah. Opponents of the bill attacking Republicans for scheduling a vote before the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has analyzed it. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Well, and see, this is...
Vote on it, and then we'll tell you what's in there.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. Yeah. Plus, interestingly enough, I think the only difference between this and the last time they wanted to pass it is that $8 billion has been added to help out people with pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Now, I think
that's been the big linchpin.
I think in order to help all of them, it would take about $300 billion. But they've you know gone with $8 billion.
Yeah, I wondered where they came up with that figure. Do we know?
Well, I'm not sure, but over time, I think they're going to add like another 180, but they're still going to be like $190 billion short or something. But $8 billion was what they said. Okay, let's at least add something in there for pre-existing conditions, and so they've added something. But like I said, I don't think the Senate will pass this same bill.
Now, if the bill gets through the House, major roadblocks ahead in the Senate, where the bill is expected to undergo significant change.
This is really the first piece of legislation that in this administration would be. I mean, let's put it, significant legislation.
Yeah.
You know, all these resolutions and different things like that that say, let's honor so-and-so. That stuff passes easily, and I don't think that counts necessarily. But this is a major piece of legislation, and the president wants something to pass that he promised during the campaign. And this would probably be the first thing if it does. But again, it's got to get through the Senate, and there's
well, and it's one of the main
ways to go, yeah.
Rungs on his
well, yeah. He said to repeal and replace Obamacare, and last time it was in there. Interestingly enough, a lot of the Tea Party type people didn't like it because it wasn't
harsh enough.
I mean, it didn't really repeal Obamacare. It tweaked it, and they didn't want to tweak Obamacare. They wanted to get rid of it completely. Now this doesn't actually do like, and I said this doesn't do much different. It's got enough things in it that people who are for Obamacare don't like. And, you know, the ones who were like, well, okay, let's put it this way. The guys who went back to their home districts, the congressmen who did, and had town hall meetings and got screamed at by people, a few of them said, okay, well, we need to get that pre-existing conditions thing taken care of. You know, otherwise we're going to vote no. And since it happened last night, you know, two guys, I think, said, yeah, okay, we're going to vote for it. So that put them over the top. But again, like you said, razor thin. You know, in the movie, somebody would come in and say, you know, I had a long talk with my waitress at breakfast this morning, yeah. and I've decided, you know, and like I said, that doesn't happen. That's not politics.
Nope.
Sentimentality.
Republican leaders pulled the bill. Well, Speaker Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
At the last minute, at the request
well,
of
they were all in,
President Trump.
They were all in his office last night acting all dramatic. I mean, they could, they could have been on the phone, but whenever they want to do something dramatically, they all rush down to somebody's office and then rush out at the same time and go, we did it, we did it.
The American Health Care Act goes a long way to fulfilling the Republicans' seven-year pledge to repeal Obama's landmark health reform law, and it would ease the coverage gains of the last few years and leave 24 million more people uninsured by 2026 than under Obamacare, according to a Congressional Budget Office analysis of an earlier version of the bill.
And Kevin McCarthy of California, he was not in the mood last night to discuss the bill. You know, he came out, somebody says, are you going to vote? And he says, yes, we're going to vote because we have enough votes. It'll pass. It's a good bill. And then when people started asking him, or the reporters there started asking him specific questions about it.
Shut up.
Basically, he turned and said, we're going to pass it. We're going to pass it. Let's be optimistic about life. And then he left.
Well, we'll tell you what changes.
A lot of interviews are sounding really familiar.
Yeah.
They sound like yesterday's interviews and the day before.
I'll tell you what will change if this thing passes. But first,
Boise police looking into a stabbing and home invasion last night. Details straight ahead on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jane, Chris, it is a Thursday morning. I'm going to give you some of the differences. Now, you said your wife checked this out the other day.
Well, no, it was this morning. This morning, you know, because they figured out last night what they want from this bill. And she went through one of the articles explaining the different changes. And I didn't ask her for details. She just texted me. But she said if this passes, essentially it'll cost the two of us, me and her, it will cost us about $9,000 more next year. And I thought, well, that's not good.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
GOP's plan would eliminate Obamacare subsidies,
Well, we don't get those.
Yeah,
I don't think.
You should.
Okay, well, maybe we do.
Yeah, which are refundable tax credits based on a person's income and the cost of coverage in their area.
Oh, then we probably do get them.
Yeah, more than 8 in 10 enrollees on the Obamacare exchanges receive the assistance. But individuals making more than $47,500 or families of four earning more than $97,200 do not qualify.
Okay.
I don't know where you'd fit in there. That's kind of nebulous, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Well, at the moment, we've got a family of three because we still have one kid at home. Let's put it this way. I do go over that first mark you mentioned, but I'm under that second mark.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I think most people in this country would be.
Yeah, okay.
Instead, the Republicans want to issue refundable tax credits to help people afford coverage on the individual market. These credits, though, Chris, aren't going to be based on salary. And what do you think of this? They're not really going to be based on how much you make, but on how old you are.
Oh. Well, do you get more then if you're older?
The credits will range from $2,000 for 20-somethings, like Todd with 1D, to $4,000 for those in their early 60s.
Okay.
The credits will have an income cap. Those making more than $75,000 would see their tax credits start to phase out, and an enrollee making more than $215,000 would not be eligible. Well, I guess you're not eligible. Families with incomes.
This may come as a surprise to you, but still eligible.
Still your boss.
Even on that previous thing you said, I'm still eligible.
Families with incomes above $150,000 would see their credits dwindle, while those earning more than $290,000 would not apply.
I'm not really in any of those dwindling categories.
Yeah. The bill would also kill the additional help that individuals earning less than roughly $30,000 a year receive to cover out-of-pocket costs. More than half the enrollees on the Obamacare exchanges receive the cost-sharing subsidies.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, not in that category either.
So, but it's kind of, it's not clear. It's fuzzy. It's kind of clear, but.
Well, to be fair, taxes have pretty much, I mean, tax, insurance, all that stuff's always been kind of fuzzy to me anyway.
Yeah. The GOP's bill would get rid of the Obamacare requirement that people have health coverage or face a tax penalty.
Okay, that's fine.
It would also eliminate the mandate that employers with at least 50 employees provide health insurance to their workers.
That makes me a little less...
edgy? A little edgy there?
A little less confident, let's put it that way.
Yeah. You'd still want to go to work for the people who did that, I would think.
Who give you benefits?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Under Obamacare, these companies had to provide affordable insurance to staffers mm-hmm. who worked more than 30 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
I see where Trump's going here. They would face a penalty if they did not meet this criteria and their employees sought subsidies on the exchanges. Now, I think what Trump's thinking here is, look how many jobs aren't full-time anymore, right? Jobs aren't full-time. There are people working 30 hours because they don't get benefits.
Right.
What he's thinking, if they don't have to provide affordable insurance for more than 30 hours a week, maybe there'll be more full-time people.
Yeah.
Or making part-time wages.
Or more profit for the person or, you know, people who have invested or own the company.
If they'd be making part-time wages, so they wouldn't have any.
No, I'm talking about the people who own the company. I'm not talking about people who work for the company.
But the people who work for the company.
Yeah. See, I'm full-time now, but I'm making part-time stuff. The theory is here that, let's just go with large corporations.
Sure.
The theory is here that if you provide them with more capital, then they will create more jobs, as opposed to just dividing up the extra earnings, which is actually what they do.
Yeah.
People don't invest in something just so their money can stay exactly the same. They invest so they can make money.
Correct. The Republican plan seeks to allow insurers to impose a 30% surcharge on the premiums of those who let their coverage lapse for at least 63 days.
No, I've never done that.
And the plan would enable insurers to levy the surcharge for a year, but only to policies bought by the individual or small group markets. We'll be back with more changes to the Affordable Health Care Bill. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, KBOI News Time 9:06, Paul J. and Chris on a Thursday morning talking about the Republican House version of the Affordable Health Care Replacement Bill, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
And
I think they call it the American Health Care Act.
Yeah.
And as opposed to the Affordable Health Care Act.
Right. This one may not be as affordable. So apparently
you can be either affordable or you can be American.
Yeah. There are some changes. Let's go to Andrew off the bat, and then we'll get some instant messages. Andrew, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, The thing about being a small business owner, like I am, is under the Affordable Care Act, you're faced with some really difficult choices. Quite a few of us have decided just simply not grow.
Okay.
And because if we hit 50 full-time employees, now make sure you understand what that means. That means 50 employees who are 30 hours a week or higher, or that plus part-time employees added up together to have full-time equivalency hours. So it doesn't necessarily mean that if you have a whole bunch of part-time people, you'll never hit that cap, because you will, because you have to add the part-time employees' hours up to equal equivalencies.
Gotcha.
If you hit that limit, you either have to provide insurance or you have to pay a $3,000 per employee fine per year.
Yep.
So if you're given a choice, it's a dog's dinner. If you're given a choice between a massive fine that buys you nothing or buying insurance, most of us say, well, if I'm going to hit that level, I'm going to buy insurance. But the problem is that the affordability of it is not on our end, of course. I mean, I looked at it for my small business. You know, we're talking about $13,000 or $14,000 a month. That is just my portion. And guys, I'd love to tell you that I have $13,000 or $14,000 a month to throw at something like that, and I don't. And so the choice is don't grow and don't hire more people and don't expand your business, because you have to stay under that cap. So basically what it's doing is making small businesses stay small businesses. And that's just the downside for me. The downside for my employees is, let's say I do find that $13,000 or $14,000 a month, and I do go out and I do get an insurance policy, a major medical policy, and I do offer it to my employees. Every single one of my employees is now ineligible for individual subsidies. They have a choice. I either can't have insurance or I must take my employer's plan, because that's how it works under the Affordable Care Act. Because if your employer offers, you must take that plan. You cannot choose not to and go to the individual plans and take those subsidies off your taxes. It's a much better deal in most cases for individuals to go and take those subsidies, because they can get a $9,000 or a $10,000 a year subsidy against to get their insurance. But if I offer a plan, no matter how good or bad or indifferent the plan is, they're required to sign on to my plan. And so as an employer who I'm wanting to do something nice and something good and something beneficial for my employees, to make my workplace a better place, to make my jobs better jobs,
sure,
if I go ahead and I buy that insurance, I'm actually doing my employees a disservice.
Man.
So
quandary.
It's a mess is what it is. It's a disaster. I don't know that I have a solution to the problem. I have my own difficulties with insurance. You know, my personal insurance is, you know, a $27,000 deductible, and they want $900 a month for my wife and my daughter and myself.
Hey.
And of course I don't do that. I mean, why would I pay
lion tamer or something?
You know, you would think. You would think I would be a bomb disposal agent or something.
Yeah, exactly.
What they want, but no. Just for giggles, we went out and checked the Affordable Care Act website to see what it would cost for us under Obamacare, and it was like $12,000 a year. I'm not that bad at math. I mean, I don't need. Well, what am I buying? I'm buying 30 days worth of coverage, because if I don't make the next payment, I'm off the plan anyway. I mean, it's not like you're buying any real security. So it's a difficulty for me personally for buying insurance, but for as far as it goes for my employer and my employees, I mean, the choices are bring my margin down on my company to the point where any emergency would just destroy us.
Wipe you out.
Wipe us out, because we don't have any wiggle room in our monthly budget, because it's all going, any excess that we have would be 100% going to pay for that insurance policy. Or not offer it and not grow.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, Andrew.
No problem.
Yeah, good. Well, that's a good call right there. Now, talk about devil in the deep blue sea.
Mm-hmm. Instant message from Mike R. of Boise, who says, with the widespread childhood asthma and type 2 diabetes epidemic, there will be a very large population entering the insurance market with pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
And then thrown into a high-cost pool that they can't afford. Previous state-run high-risk pools became so unfunded because of expense that there were waiting lists to get coverage in the pool. Hello, cruel world. You are getting crueler at the whim of the Republican president and Congress.
What else you got?
Dave of Boise says, I wish the focus was on those of us that do not want Obamacare. The people out there that want health care can go and get it. We live in America where you are free to get insurance from whomever you wish on the open market. People like me that absolutely do not want Obamacare or any other unnecessary insurance are being forced to pay for the people who do want insurance, and it's not right. the fine I have to pay for not participating is just pouring salt into the wound, so to speak. It makes me feel like a criminal just for trying to survive. I already have to pay for auto insurance that I also do not use. I have had no claims for or against me in 45 years, yet I have to pay my fees every month. And for what? So he's not happy.
Nope.
Then Boise Rabble Rouser said, the only thing you need to know about how bad the Republican health care killer bill is that the House bill exempts Congress from its restrictions.
I saw the picture this morning. You know, come on. First thing I saw on Twitter, smiles on their faces.
You know, Patrick of Caldwell wrote in about something we were talking about earlier when I said that there was that guy on All Nippon Airlines, which is the Japanese, you know, it's the Japanese airline. And he had ordered the gluten-free meal.
Got a banana.
And all they gave him was a banana and salt and pepper and a knife and fork. And Patrick of Caldwell writes in to say, morning, guys, why didn't the guy who ordered the gluten-free meal just get the regular meal and not eat the toast? I guess he wouldn't get his 5 minutes of fame. The airlines cannot accommodate every situation for every person in the world. Okay, I agree with that, except for one thing. They offer a gluten-free meal. So they gave him.
He didn't know he was going to get a banana.
They offered him. They have the options of, you know, like a gluten-free meal or a kosher meal and various other things, salt-free meal. They give those options, and then the gluten-free meal turned out to be one single banana. So you know, if they don't really have gluten-free meals available, then I'd suggest they maybe just get rid of that option.
Yeah. KBI News Time is 9:15. We'll be back with more of your phone calls.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Alrighty, 919 KBOI rewards code CHANGE, CHANGE, CHANGE. Go to 670KBOI.com, interchange, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Off to the phone, let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
Well, a couple of things on Andrew's story. So what he's saying is his employees that he has under 50, he doesn't buy insurance for them. So now that they can get insurance through Obamacare, so they have health care. So if they go to the hospital, taxpayers don't pay it.
Okay.
That's what he's saying. And another thing on this, see, Obamacare is paid for. Taxes were raised to pay for it. I'm not paying any, and from the way it sounded, Chris isn't paying any for it because it fell on the top 2%, around 200 and some thousand a year, is who pays 90% of the Obamacare taxes. Now, the Republicans are repealing those taxes. So they're going to repeal those taxes, and then they've got that $8 billion, which is about 20% of what they need for pre-existing conditions, and all the money they're going to be given back in tax credits, you know, based on age, all that money is going to be borrowed again. They're going to get rid of the taxes to pay for it, and then they're going to borrow the money for their plan. That is the genius of their plan. So the wealthy people get this break, and millions of people go without insurance, and hospitals are having a hard enough time covering uninsured people as it is. Idaho didn't take the Medicare expansion, so our hospitals are, you know, covering up for anybody. But, you know, so this plan they've came up with, there's just a lot of loopholes. It's real sleazy how they're trying to say that pre-existing conditions will be covered. They use words like Americans will have access to health care. Well, I have access to a Learjet.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't afford it. And then if you notice some other language that they've been using, they said that nobody that's covered by pre-existing conditions now will lose their coverage. Well, what about in the future? if you lose your job or something and lose your insurance for 60 days, and then you get a job and try to buy insurance, then you have to pay a surcharge. So you're somebody that's lost their job.
And don't have any money.
Or broke, and then they go to sign up for health care insurance again, and they have to pay extra money for a year.
No, amazing. All right, thanks, Rich. I'm not sure there's an answer to this.
Okay, and a lot of the things they say, it's like that thing, well, you know, we want to give people more choices. Well, there were people who were getting their insurance absolutely free, and instead they're going
They got a choice they want to make.
They're going to get choices. Like, for instance, you can have the $800 a month plan or the $1,100 a month plan or the $1,500 a month plan. And if you were getting it free, maybe choices, you know, weren't the thing that you were demanding. I'm just saying. But
exactly.
Also, I mean, and there's a lot of that language, you know, when he says, well, everyone will have access to health care, which you already do. I mean, you walk into the hospital as he said, you do have access to health care. But it's like those real estate ads where they say, you know, minutes from shopping, minutes from the freeway, minutes from this. That means you're not close to anything. It means the opposite of what it sounds like.
Yeah. Fill up with gas before you leave.
Yeah. You're just minutes from shopping. Well, it might be 30 minutes.
Yeah. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Doesn't say how many minutes.
Yeah.
Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, this whole debacle has its roots in California with the illegal immigrants that came over and were using the hospitals, emergency care for doctors. That was, 15, 20 years ago?
Yeah, or even longer.
And it has escalated. My solution to this whole thing is repeal Obamacare, do away with all the insurance companies, nationalize it, make it welfare if you need welfare to take care of your health. Indigent care is already still in place. But what happens is once you get people hooked on this, and that's the whole goal of it, is to get them hooked. And then it's about life control. Now, if you start taking care of yourself when you're a young person, and you don't do stupid things, you don't drink, you don't smoke, mm-hmm. you don't do drugs, you know, you take care of yourself physically, you learn how to do that in school, you learn how to do it from your parents, then you don't really need a lot of stuff. Now, there are a few people who have pre-existing conditions, but a lot of our health conditions are a result of our health ignorance and not taking care of ourselves.
Some truth
and
there.
That's the problem we face. And I don't want to be paying for somebody's oxygen after they've spent 50 years smoking and they end up with emphysema. And that's the dilemma we're up against. I don't want to pay for obese people who won't exercise and take care of their bodies. It is just ludicrous what's going on. My solution, repeal Obamacare, be done with it, make people personally responsible for their own health. Now, we have indigent care, we have charities, we have all kinds of things to take care of things. So, you know, you're going to have your 1% that we're making laws for 1% of the people. That's not what a law is intended to do. But that's the way we're making law anymore, and it's ridiculous.
Yep. All right, good stuff. Thanks, Steve. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
All right. KBOI News Time, 9:36. Let's go back to the phones. Roger of Kinder. Roger, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I wish Rich was right on that funding. But the reality is, if that was the case, then why did everyone's insurance almost double?
Mine went down. I must be one of the few. But how about yours, Chris? Stay the same, go down?
No, it went way up, and so did the...
His insurance...
Yeah, my insurance didn't double, but it probably went up by about 30-35%.
My deductible went way up, though.
And my deductible more than doubled. In fact, I think my deductible almost tripled.
Yeah, with my business, we basically had to pay twice as much. We didn't save the $2,400 per person that Obama said, and also our deductible went from $500 to $3,000.
Yeah, ours went from 1,500 to
4,000. Yeah,
4,000.
Yeah. So, you know, the two places in medicine where prices have actually gone down are not covered by insurance, and that's LASIK surgery and plastic surgery. And
I think I'll go get my nose done.
There you go. Yeah, the other thing is they've done studies, and basically it's just whenever you get a third party involved in it, prices escalate. So it's
no
the same
question.
With student tuition.
Yep.
And it's same with when they did Social Security. Prior to Social Security, there were like 6,000-plus self-help groups in the U.S., and what happened is when Social Security went in, that a lot of those dried up and went away. It was just it went from the private sector to the public sector. And it was, I mean, you look at the history of how Obamacare was forced through the legislature, it was just a mess. I mean, it would never, the rules were changed. People were lied to get it passed. Like, I think it was Stupak was one of the representatives.
Yeah, Bart.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And anyway, it's, yeah, I think they should just ditch it, go back to privatization, and go from there. I mean,
well, you know, you're absolutely right, though. Every time you add another layer of government or whatever you want to call it, there's another layer of paper to push around.
Right. The decisions get made away from the source of the problem. And the whole insurance, third-party insurance, started under FDR because they had wage and price controls. And so what businesses did, they created the concept of health benefits to help bring in new talented people to give them an edge. And that's where the whole thing came from for business insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks,
have
Raj.
A good one. Yeah, bye.
Hmm. Interesting. What's Pence doing up there?
I'm not sure.
Religious liberty and free speech.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the president
Trump had signed a religious liberty order.
Well, it's an executive order that tells people that we have free speech and religious liberty, which, you know, was already covered in the
Constitution.
So yeah. This is fairly ceremonial what he's doing right now.
Why is it controversial?
What's that?
Why is it controversial?
Ceremonial is what I said. Not
well, yeah, but
they said controversial.
Yeah, right there in the middle, CNN.
CNN. Okay, but religious liberty, like for instance, if you have a job where you serve the public,
today's a day of prayer, though,
and there's
right?
something, yeah, true, and there's something that your job does, like for instance, you know, dispense, you know, RU 486 or something like
yeah.
that you don't want to do, then according to some people, you know, under religious liberty, you should be able to do that and not have to do anything in your job that would be against your religion. Now, according to other people, if they're paying you to do a job, do what they tell you or go get another job.
Yeah. And both of them actually have points.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent.
To an extent.
I hired you to do this, and since you're not doing it, I kind of need to hire somebody else.
Yeah. Let's go to Mark of Eagle. Mark. Oh, crap. Mark, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Hello. Is this Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, see, yeah, you guys have some phone issues there, it sounds like.
Oh, that was me. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
Swinging a miss here.
They're fixing them, though, because we put in an order.
We're getting new phones, actually, as we speak.
Yeah, we put in an order back in 2002, and they're getting to it. So that's
oh, cool. No problem. Hey, do you remember, guys, I brought up, oh, gosh, back before tax time, I brought up about that penalty and that I was trying to, well, you also had a gentleman that had called in and said, well, you know what, I filled out that form, blah, blah, blah. It was like a form 8865 or something like that. It was a Fed form.
Right.
Well, guess what? No. And then he mentioned this to Crapo, Mike Crapo, Senator Crapo, on the phone when you had him on that day. Well, I found out, folks, it does not work here in the state of Idaho because we have our own marketplace. So this guy could get a friendly notice from the IRS. I don't know. There's nothing to enforce, apparently, them collecting the money, but there's nothing stopping the IRS from sending you a nasty note saying that you didn't pay this and that here's also a penalty on top of not paying the penalty. So I found out that you have to go through, because I was fighting tooth and nail. I ended up going, they were telling me that I had to go to health and welfare. I spent an hour and almost a half on the phone giving all my personal information out to a lady who then says you got to take this and take it to your wife's work for the school district just to say, hey, yeah, it would have costed me too much to get insurance through my wife's work. Couldn't afford it. It was like 18-20% of my income. So to make a long story short, found out that that's only good for a tax credit. So I called back and talked to a gentleman there at Idaho Health yourhealthidaho.org, and he told me, or the marketplace, I should say, he told me that you have to go online to yourhealthidaho.org and look under exemptions. There's a form that you can download. It's six pages, four of them you fill out. Then you have to have something that proves, which I have the letter from Blue Cross of what my premiums would have been for last year or this year, plus what my wife has through work, that it would have made it way past, you know, my ability to pay, you know, for a monthly premium. So I sure as heck hope that something happens with this health care deal and they get this thing resolved and get this darn penalty thing out so I don't have to keep jumping through hoops. But I'm finding out there's other people out there who have gone through this. But you have to go, folks, through Your Health Idaho and click yourhealthidaho.org and click on the exemption deal, and it will tell you what you need to do. So just to let everybody know, the federal form will not work here for the state of Idaho.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark. Good stuff. I remember looking up, and the one thing that changed, basically, is you could file your federal income tax, whereas last year, if you hadn't paid the penalty, whatever, you couldn't. This year, you could go. Didn't mean they weren't going to catch up with you later.
Right.
Just meant you could go ahead and file it. Very confusing. KBOI News Time, 9:44.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we're back. Paul, Jane, Chris, KBOI News Time, 9:47. Let's go to the phones. Mike. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Our favorite topic, health care. One of the key issues here, and the sticking point back there in the swamp, as I would call it now, is existing condition. And do you know what that term is, or do you know how they decide that?
No.
And what is? Well, it's there's a lot of criteria, and of course, it's put together by the insurer. Obviously, cancer would be a major existing condition. Diabetes would be. But say you had high blood pressure 1 year, which anybody over their 60s most likely has some type of high blood pressure. So all of a sudden, that's an existing condition. You had migraine headaches, so that could be an existing condition. And what one insurance company will call an existing condition, the other one will find out, and so they'll call it. And that's why they were able to keep on raising the rates, and that's why Congress said no. Because they wanted to take your premium, but they wanted to make sure they bet more on the horse race than what you bet on the horse race. And that's the crux of the whole issue on this existing condition, is who decides what's existing. I happened to have a medical problem about 7 years ago, and like my doctor said, luckily there will be Obamacare, and they don't charge you more for an existing condition. And he said otherwise they would. And the joke of it, he says, if it ever happens to you again, your existing condition, the only thing you're going to need to pay for is your funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the insurance companies are in business to make money.
Listen to this, Mike. It says here, states could get waivers that would allow carriers to set premiums based on enrollees' medical backgrounds under several circumstances. Those enrollees would have to let their coverage lapse. And the state would have to set up a risk program, such as a high-risk pool, that, in some cases, could provide help to those being charged higher premiums. States could also seek waivers that would allow insurers to sell plans that don't include all of the essential health benefits mandated by the Affordable Care Act. Under Obamacare, carriers must provide outpatient care, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity, mental health, and substance abuse, prescription drugs, rehabilitation services, lab work, preventative care, and pediatric services. Eliminating those provisions could lower premiums somewhat and give consumers a wider choice of plans, but it would make it very hard for people to buy comprehensive coverage and weaken the protections for those with pre-existing conditions.
Did
you follow that?
Yeah, you believe all that? Do you believe in the Easter Bunny, too? It is a major issue with the society on medical care. I happened to have my mother into the ER room on Tuesday, and I noticed the number of people that were there. And they didn't have insurance. And wow. But they're still going to be treated because yep. that's the society we have.
True.
And I'm not saying that's wrong.
No, you can't. You can't say that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. But you and I are paying for that.
I know.
And everybody talks about, well, you have the indigent fund. Well, that's set up by the counties, and they use tax dollars, property tax dollars, to fund that.
It comes from us.
It comes from us. And then you see some of the major lawsuits that go back and forth, and then some are warranted, some are not. But again, the existing condition is the key question of what is the risk of that existing condition. And I'm a strong Republican, and I'm even more of a strong Trump supporter now. But I'm afraid the Republicans are going to put something into play, and they're going to own it, and they're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my thoughts, and I've had to educate myself more on health care insurance than I ever thought I would.
Yeah, well, thanks for cheering us up.
Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too.
I don't know if this is true. Somebody told me this. You know, it's one of those things I don't want to just turn around and tell everybody about it. But somebody said that if you are a female and you are of, you know, you're between you know, puberty and Minneapolis.
Birthing age.
Yeah, exactly. That you have a pre-existing condition. You have the ability to become pregnant, and therefore you might, and so that's a pre-existing condition.
And I thought, somebody told you this, or figured it out?
No, somebody told me about it. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. And then I thought, well, maybe it does sound right. I don't know. It's like, you know, there's a possibility this could happen, so we have to put you in this different category for insurance. Now, I don't know if they really do it that way. I haven't had to check into it. Kent of Boise says, I have not heard this question ever asked. For those of you that have insurance that you feel is affordable because you are against Obamacare, tell us where you buy it. Then we will all be in good hands.
Listen to this. Under Obamacare, insurers could only charge older enrollees three times more than younger policyholders. The GOP bill would, I'm happy to hear that. The GOP bill would widen that band to 5-to-1, which would hike premiums for those in their 50s and 60s, but reduce them for younger people, which, if I was a younger person, I'd be going, yeah, we never get sick, yeah. States would also be allowed to seek waivers to allow insurers to charge older consumers even more than five times more than younger ones. Republican legislation.
I'm with you. That doesn't sound very good.
Would also eliminate the taxes the law levied on wealthy Americans, insurers, prescription drug makers, device manufacturers, and others.
Yeah. Because what do you do at that point? Say, well, I better hurry up and get younger. Brent of Boise says,
You're not going to get older. No. You can't afford it.
Brent of Boise says, this issue only comes down to one philosophy. If you are a payer, you do not like paying for everyone else's benefits. If you are a receiver, you don't want to lose your free benefit. Pretty simple. We all fall down on one side of the line or the other.
Push comes to shove. This guy's identified the problem.
True. But it often depends on where you draw that line. You know, who gets to be on the lower part of the line and who gets to be on the upper part. And John of Caldwell says, regarding the ACA, if the Senate changes what the House sent to them, then it has to go back to the House for approval of the changes. So at this point, there is no there, as it is unlikely the House will not go along with the Senate's changes. The Republicans had more than 6 years to craft a replacement, and they sat on their hands and did nothing. Correction, they passed several repeals that they knew would never be signed. We are being played like cheap violins. When election time comes around, all the Republicans are going to go back to their states and tout how hard they worked to get rid of Obamacare. But alas, it's just too hard. However, if you just send me back, I'll double my efforts and we can get something done. I'm pretty good at math. And if you double zero, you still get zero.
Truer words.
That was John and Caldwell.
Never spoke. KBOI News Time, 9:55. Open phones Friday coming up tomorrow. We will see you then, and have a good day.